You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
DCE's in the house.
Yeah, I'm outnumbered. It's fine. It happens. And you both are wearing green. I like totally didn't get this memo.
It's it's kind of like the secret handshake of DCE's
apparently.
Too. We wear the same colors on the same days.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm convinced, don't I?
I'm not in that club. It's fine.
In studio with us today, DCE Krista. I combined them. DCE Krista Young, serving the Lord in Eastern and Southern Africa. Krista, such a joy to have you in studio today and excited to learn about your work in Africa.
Thank you. Welcome to
the Coffee Hour.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Is it still the Coffee Hour if I've already had my coffee?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, good. Just checking.
It works.
And if anybody's really paying attention, it's only half an hour.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
It's our little secret.
The coffee half hour.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
But see, that just doesn't have a ring to it like the coffee
the
hour. So such a joy to have you in studio. Tell us about your background. Some missionaries, you know, learn about being a missionary and decide that's what they want to do. Mm-hmm. You grew up in a missionary family, right?
I did, yeah. I was actually born in Papua New Guinea some years back. And my parents were missionaries there, and they adopted me. I was, so it's an international adoption. I'm biologically Australian. So often I think if I look a little Nicole Kidman-ish, it's because, I'm kidding. But we lived there till I was 12. And then we moved to the United States. I became a citizen of the United States. And then I actually went to Concordia St. Paul to be a DCE, thinking that I was going to go into mission work. My folks were in New Guinea for like 20 years, so it was a big deal. But during my internship, I met this really cute guy.
He wasn't
That's
how all the stories happen.
I know. He wasn't interested just yet. And so we kind of took like a 20-year roundabout trip, and then... So now I'm back in the mission field.
That's so cool. Yeah. Such a cool story.
It's fun.
So you work as a volunteer coordinator, mm-hmm. in Eastern and Southern Africa.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like for you?
So my favorite part of that position is getting to know the bishops and the church leaders and seeing their ministries and where they're going and how they're growing. Ways that we can walk together with them and encourage them. And then as volunteers from the United States say, hey, we want to do a mission trip, then we can find the very best way to connect them and the most effective ministry. And then my second favorite part of the job is to help the Americans coming over understand the context and mm-hmm. how serving might look differently. And it might you might have to wear different things, say different things. And I've learned most of those lessons the hard way, what not to say. So I feel like now I'm almost an expert of how not to offend our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then just really walking together, not doing ministry for them or not doing something that they could do on their own, but an encouragement and a brothers and sisters in Christ kind of unity. It's really cool.
I feel like there are some stories behind that that learning
yeah.
experience that you said learning the hard way. Are there any? Is there perhaps a story you could share with us that
that won't offend everybody listening?
Well, I don't know. I often tell my language teachers that they should write a book of the dumb things we say and do. So one of my favorite. And this isn't about offending the church members, but entertaining them sometimes is maybe more what I do. I was on a trip in northern Ethiopia and had been practicing my Amharic, and I was so proud of myself because I was like, okay, all weekend long, I'm only going to speak Amharic. And I get to this part of the country and they don't speak Amharic. They speak Tigray. And so I was like, now I'm back out of my element. All over again, I'm lost. And it took me about a day to realize, oh, it's not that I'm not understanding, it's because it's actually a different language. So I'm kind of a slow learner. But the lady at the front desk, we were at this little guest house, and I decided I was gonna, like I said, use only Amharic, and she knew a little bit. And so I walked up and I practiced the words in my head, and I walked up to the front desk, and you know, sometimes words are very similar with just one tiny change to mm-hmm. a sound. So without realizing it, I walked up and I said, hello, good morning. Please, may I have another monkey for my room instead of a towel? And the church leaders were like, they didn't want to laugh because they were like, oh, I don't know what Chris is asking for. And so I said it again with a little more, you know, poking emphasis. My chest out and like saying my words just so confidently, please, may I have another towel or another monkey for my room? So anyway, the lady didn't laugh until finally, you know, one of the guys with me, one of the pastors, he said, monkey? And I looked at him and I said, oh, no, towel. And then everybody was allowed to laugh. But how they wouldn't laugh at me until they knew that, you know, because they're just so respectful and mm-hmm. so gracious. Whereas I would have laughed, you know, I would have laughed immediately. But so for the next few months, how's your monkey? Do you need another monkey?
So yeah, that's a thing you don't live down
right,
very easily.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, the difference between fota and tota, you know, I figured it was an innocent mistake, but it means something totally different.
A whole different world.
Yeah.
Wow. So and you're not solo on this. Your family is with you as well.
Right. Yeah.
Tell us about family life.
It's awesome. I had so my husband, we've been married 25 years, actually just last week.
Nice.
Congratulations.
I know, thank you. We're like the old people. And we're like them, but since we're young, Joel Young,
yeah.
Get it?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
There you go.
So two teenage daughters who are phenomenal, and we're a part of the prayer process, part of the discussions about going, had always heard grandma and grandpa's stories about being on the mission field, mm-hmm. and yeah, they're pretty amazing young people. So they make life easier because they could have really made it difficult for us. And there's been challenges, you know. I mean, it's hard to navigate traffic or where to buy the things that you need to buy or whatever. But yeah, they've done really well. My oldest is actually back in Missouri now. She's starting the School of Journalism at Mizzou. So she's,
nice.
Yeah, so... Pardon me, we'll be a family divided for a while. That's going to be kind of hard.
Wow.
As all college, you know, moms feel, but I feel like it's magnified because mm-hmm. the 9-hour time difference and, you know, I'll be there in 35 hours if you need me kind of thing. So, but we've got a really strong support family nearby. And yeah, so she's got a good support network.
I understand that to be pretty important to missionary families mm-hmm. to have that support, because quite often the kids will come back here to the U.S. to study, to go to college, but mm-hmm. to have relatives and close family friends who are looking out for them and filling those roles. I've seen that some of my friends in college who were mm-hmm. missionary families. What is key in your work? Strengthening those relationships. You talked about partnerships and mm-hmm. You know, strengthening those relationships and the partnerships in walking together. What is key to those relationships and those partnerships?
Well, I was going to say what is key is the time it takes to build those relationships. In East Africa, almost everything has to happen or gets to happen face to face. And so emails often aren't reliable. Cell phone coverage isn't often reliable. And so in order to even plan a meeting, sometimes you go and meet them to talk about when we will have the bigger meeting. And so so having patience and being flexible, I think, is key, because if you're in a culture that time is, like in the Western culture, time is like, you know, minute by minute is tracked, versus if relationships are most important, then time is sort of secondary. And so if you get to a meeting and you think it's supposed to start at 9 and it doesn't start till 10:30, what are you doing in the meantime if you're irritated and they're late, I'm offended? Or if you use that time to get to know people and build relationships, then you have a quote unquote meeting, and maybe you didn't even get to your agenda, but maybe the agenda that day was just to build rapport and to get to know one another and to ask about the families. And then the more important meetings can happen later down the line if you put in the time up front. And so that's been a really, that's just a culture shift in terms of my agenda and not walking into a meeting time with an agenda. But really learning to listen and taking the lead from the bishops and the church leaders. And I'm thinking like, whew, is it almost time to go? And we're still having our coffee, you know? So
We have 2 minutes left. There's so many things I want to talk about. Growing up as a missionary kid and then going back into the field, is there anything that you learned growing up that you've been able to translate into the field now, or is it just completely different because you're in a different country, different time?
Yeah, no, I think my whole life I've not been task orientated. I think I've been really relational.
Yeah.
And so more I think about, instead of learning about myself, like, oh, that's okay to be that way. That's who God created me to be. And maybe those experiences shaped that. So,
yeah.
As a DCE and thinking in terms of Myers-Briggs personality type indicator, it's like the J's rule this side of the world and the P's rule that side of the world.
Exactly.
Sorry, it's more DCE talk. Okay, last question. Mm-hmm. This is always the important question.
It's a very important question.
Does he answer Jesus?
Okay, sorry.
Jesus
yes,
provides
it could be, I guess.
food. It's always the food.
Yes.
What have you discovered you love? What food do you like? Or has been a crazy experience learning?
Yeah. Some of our family half of our family loves Ethiopian food, with the injera and tibs and different shiro, which is like, I don't know, look it up. We don't have time. but in Kenya, one of the main foods is ugali, which is like a paste made out of flour and water. And not such a fan yet. And our friends keep saying, keep working on it. And I'm like,
you'll get there.
No, I'm not sure I'm going to learn to love it yet. So, but I don't mind beans and rice. I mean, that's kind of a typical Kenyan meal. So that's fine too. But, obviously we don't starve to death. We find enough of what we need. So it's good.
DCE Krista Young, serving the Lord in Eastern and Southern Africa as an area volunteer coordinator. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thanks
for your work and serving the Lord in Africa. And always a joy to meet our missionaries. Thanks for being a part of the Coffee Hour today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, that does it for the Coffee Hour today. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.